The parsha this week that we're going to be examining is Parshas Bamidbar. But by way of introduction to the topic at hand, and I always try my best to make it relevant to contemporary issues, I have the great schus and pleasure today of speaking to Harav Avram Jacobowitz Shlita of Ramat Beit Emesh, the Rav of a shul, and someone who was involved in Kiruv on college campuses for many decades, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he told me a very beautiful idea that I thought I'd begin with as a preamble to the discussion we're going to have. The Mishnebrua quotes a practice that when one says Tachanun, so of course one is Nofel Apayim, one falls on one's face, and then at a certain point in time, one gets up from that Nefila, and then one stands up. At what point does one stand up? So we know we begin the Tachanun first with the Amir of Ayom David El God, Salam Yod, Niplon Rabbi Hashem, Kirabim Rachamov, Ubiyam Adam Alapola. And then, subsequently, we actually say the Tachanun itself. And then we continue with a few more stanzas. Shomer Yisrael, Shomer She'eris Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu God, Klal Yisrael, the Al Yovad Yisrael, Omrim Shema Yisrael, and we describe Klal Yisrael as Goy Echad, as Goy Kadosh, and we ask Hashem to demonstrate to us Rachamim. And then, the last paragraph begins, V'anachnu lo neida manaseh ki alecha einenu. At that point, says the Mishnebrua, the practice is to stand. To go back to the Amida, Tachanun is really an extension of Shemoneh Esrei. But when we come to that sentence, V'anachnu lo neida manaseh ki alecha einenu, at that point we stand. So the question is why? So the Mishnebrua essentially explains what's found already in Poskim. We say to Hashem Yisbarach the following. We have approached you in every possible modality. We have sat. We know that one is essentially obligated to sit in the course of Tefillah. Ashrei Yoshrei Reisecha Odi Alu Chastelo, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, and many Sfaradim are annoying like that. They sit the entire davening because of this Pasuk, Ashrei Yoshrei Reisecha. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Sha'a Yeshiv Asher Meitzke HaMitzvah, the mitzvah is to sit. The Rambam interpreted that Pasuk not the way Rav Doli HaRishonim interpreted. Most of Shodan interpret the Pasuk Ashrei Yoshrei Reisecha, happy are those who dwell in your home. Similar to the Pasuk that the Torah writes with reference to the mitzvah of Sukkah and Emor, Basukkah's Teshu Shivas Yomim, what the Gemara says in Sukkah, Teshu Kien Toduru, the obligation is to live in the Sukkah the way you live in your home, but we're not referring to the physical act of Yeshiva. Even the Bracha Shekin, Shodan Mitzvot of Yeshivotu Leishay Basukkah, essentially means ladur batsukah, to live in the sukkah. But the Rambam has a very unique interpretation. He interprets the pasuk Ashrei Yoshrei Reisecha physically, that sitting, the posture of sitting is the correct posture in the Beis HaKnesses, as opposed to, let's say, in Beis HaMikdash, where the Torah tells us v'yishtachaviso v'yashem lokecha, the proper posture is yishtachavo, that one should in effect be engaged in this kind of posture of Hishtachava, as opposed to a Beis HaKnesses, where the proper posture is Yeshiva. And matter of fact, the Rambam also has a famous talk which parallels this understanding of the Pasuk. On Sukkot night, the Rambam says, you make the bracha of Kiddush Ba'amida, and then you're going to make the bracha Leishiv Ba'Sukkah, and then literally sit down in the Sukkah, the posture of Yeshiva, because he understood the term Leishiv as referring to sitting. So, the explanation of the Mishnebrua's halacha that one stands up when one comes to Anachal Ladida, we tell Hashem we've done everything. We have sat in the course of davening, as Ashrei Yoshrei Reisecha indicates. We have stood in the course of davening Shemoneh Esrei. We have bowed down in Shemoneh Esrei. We have kneeled. We have engaged in every possible physical posture that we possibly can. So what else can we do? We throw up our hands in despair, and we say to Hashem, "Va'anachnu lo neda manaseh." There's nothing else that we can do. There's no other posture that we can possibly present to you. We've done it all. So what is left? Ki alecha einenu. We are relying on you, Hashem Yisbarach. We're throwing ourselves at your mercy. You're the only one who can resolve our issues. We've tried everything. We've been stymied. We've been thwarted. We've been frustrated. We have not been successful. Now, Hashem, it's in your hands. Hashlecha Hashem Yehovcha, v'hu yichal kolecha. We simply put it in the hands of Hashem, and He will, of course, hopefully, be'etz Hashem Yisbarach v'karov, sustain us. So Avraham Jacobowitz Shlita told me that this entire Corona event, to him, is a reflection of that idea. Namely, we've tried every way imaginable, and both Baruch Hashem, hopefully we've had some success. I'm speaking about now the scientists, the individuals in the medical world, doctors and the like, to flatten the curve, and we've had some success. But at the end of the day, most of this corona is a mystery, is essentially in the area of darkness. We have a complete lack of yediyah, or to quote in philosophic terminology, the only yediyah, the only knowledge I have is that I have no knowledge, and that's essentially where we're holding. We don't know what to do. We're at a loss. And therefore, there's one maskana. This maskana is inexorable and inevitable, and there is no other conclusion. And that conclusion is, Ki alecha einenu. We have to completely place our trust and our reliance on Hashem Yisbarach. And if we do that, hopefully, Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, He will respond in an affirmative kind of fashion. One of the difficulties and one of the exigencies and challenges that we are confronting now, that Baruch Hashem, we seem to be on an upward trajectory in terms of our ability to deal with corona. Thank God the number of cases is diminishing here in Eretz Yisrael and hopefully in the entire world as well. And recently, not only was there a relaxation of stringencies, but also, once again, people are now returning to Bate Medrash and Bate Knesset, again, albeit with directives, Hanchayot, from Misrad HaBriut, from the Ministry of Health, and from other individuals who are obviously scientifically and medically grounded, but there is a difficulty. And the difficulty presents itself in what we see out there in terms of the reality. There are people who follow Hanchayot, there are people who don't follow Hanchayot, and as a result, it becomes extremely difficult to navigate the shoals of this corona and the wake of corona, that which has now become more reality in terms of coming back to our shigra, to the norms that we are accustomed to. First, the relaxations were in street minyanim and porch minyanim and open areas, and now it's back to shul, and hopefully spearheaded by what they call Gaboi Corona, who will be directing traffic, hopefully in a positive, concerted kind of fashion to navigate all the different directives. But there's so many conflicts and so much conflicting desideratum, and it is so difficult. And someone asked me the following question this week. He said, I become so habituated and so acclimated to the Mirpesed Minyan that I daven in, and it's a very fine minyan. And it's true, sometimes it's a little too quick, sometimes it's too slow. It can't get exactly the right pace, but it's become a part of my life. Why should I bother going back to shul? Another person told me, what? Mirpesed Minyan? What, are you crazy? We have to run back to shuls. Run with all the speed I want to possibly muster, that I want to possibly bring to bear. So how does one resolve all this? And I just want to indicate my general approach has been that I follow, number one, the pasuk v'nishmatim lo b'nafshel seichem. It's, to my mind, when you have a suffix or any issue that relates to suffix b'kuach nefesh, one has to be very machmir. That's the chinuch that I received my entire life, and that should be really the guiding light. And of course, one should try to daven in a proper minyan, and ideally in a shul, in a beis medrash, wherever it may be. But it's hard to understand this unbelievable lachas that people seem to have to run back to shuls and the like. And I want to connect this discussion that I just had, both the beginning as well as the discussion this past moment, with psukim that are found at the end of Bamidbar. The Torah writes in the Masvi of Bamidbar, the Pasha includes that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tachrisu, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yudches, Al Tachrisu Eshevet Mishpachot Sakahosi Mitoch Halviyim. Don't let the Shevet or the Mishpach of Kahas be cut off from among the Leviim. Rashi says right on the spot, Al Tigrumu Lachem Lomus, don't cause them to die. So the obvious question is, why should we fear if the lives of the family of Kahas? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron cause them to die? What is Rashi talking about? Moshe and Aaron are the Ohavei Yisrael par excellence. No greater Ahava could be engendered outside of that of Moshe and Aaron. And we're talking about Kahas, we're talking about Mishpacha, their own family. Mitzorcha lo yisalom. Pasuk in Mishlei. One cannot abandon one's family under no circumstances. So what does the Torah mean? Using such strong language, Al Tachrisu Eshevet Mishpachos HaKahosim Mitoch HaLaviyim. And the Torah goes on. Bezos HaSulahem, the Torah has a proactive kind of measure. V'chayu V'lo Yamusu, if you want to be able to live and still operate within your framework, V'gishtam Eskodesh HaKadoshim, Aaron Uvanav Yavo, V'samu Asam Ish Ish Alav Adasov Yom Asal. Aaron and his children are going to be the overseers. They're the ones who are going to supervise the different tafkidim, the different functions, the different roles of every individual. And then the Torah concludes with the following very frightening statement. Very striking term, which Mefarshim have a lot of discussion about. They should not see when the Beis HaMikdash, when the Mishkan is going to be, number one, dismantled. So they're not allowed to see the Klei HaMikdash. They have to be covered. The term Kibbalah, according to some of Farshim, refers to Lashon Kisui, Lashon Mechuse, because if Chas V'Shalom they see the Kelim in their exposed state, God forbid, that could lead to death. So going back to the original question, here we have Shevi Kahas, and we know each of the children of the Leviim have a different task, a different function, and Kahas has the function of transporting, as the Torah tells us, the Aron, the Shulchan, the other Klei HaKodesh, and here we have some sort of concern about, as we just mentioned, coming too close, or being in a position where the Klei Kelim are exposed. Why is there such a fear? And the answer is, and this is essentially what we are seeing as well, I'm trying my best to be Malamit Schus and Klal Yisrael in the context of the Corona, why the Lehitut, why somehow the Lachas to run back to Batik Nesiyot, Batik Midrashot, even sometimes in the face of where directives, health directives are not being conformed with, are not being followed. And the answer, of course, is because this is the nature of Klal Yisrael. Mashreini acharecha narutza. We are drawn to Kedusha. We're constantly striving to connect with Hashem Yisbarach. And by attempting to come as close to the Aaron as possible, of course, there's a risk. The risk of, the Torah says, of Kibbalah HaKodesh. There's a risk of coming too close. The Abba is so overwhelming that they may inadvertently trespass beyond the boundaries that were set down for us. And therefore, who are the mashvichim, who are the overseers? Aaron Rabbanov. Aaron and his children are the overseers to make sure that Am Yisrael does not go too far. Everyone is assigned a particular mission, a particular function, and therefore each person knows what exactly he has to transport, what he has to carry, in order to avoid, according to one opinion, as we'll see in a moment in the Medrash, that everyone should make a run for the Aron HaKodesh, which of course is the most kadosh of all the Klei HaMishkan. So this desire for increased Kedusha is that which impels Klal Yisrael to act as they do. And this, as I said, is really a pasuk, Mashkeni Acharecha Merutza, and we see this constantly throughout Tanakh. When Klal Yisrael were ready to be mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu repeatedly, V'igbalta esam sadeh leinvar, Hishamu lachem alos bahar ingoa b'katzeyu, T'vanogia bahar mos yumas. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, constantly warn Klal Yisrael that there are mechitzas, there are lines of demarcation, there are lines here that are to be drawn that one cannot cross. Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya, Machane Yisrael. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Lo yuchal ha'am ba'alos el ha'asinai, ki ato ha'idos ha'bano le'mor, ha'gbel ha'am ha'kidashto. You already indicated it. And Hashem tells him again, Lech rei. And as Rashi comments, Mezazim mitzodom, kodem ha'maseh, v'chozin, u'mezazim also b'shas maseh. There's always a chash. What's the chash? Ten yersu el Hashem liros. The Nafal Mimenu Rav, that God forbid, when they see the Kedusha and they hear the Kol HaShofar, they won't be able to contain themselves. They are so longing for Kedusha that they cannot restrain themselves. The Radbaz, in one of his tshuvas, the Radbaz discusses the question, which of course is often discussed, the issue of going up to Har HaBayis, Bizman HaZeh, is it Mutter, is it Asur? And he takes the position that it's Asur, as Rov Dovei HaPoskim assume, but he points out, despite that fact, and despite the Isur, there will be many Jews who will be making an effort, Lihit Paretz, Lahar HaBayis. To go up to Har HaBayis. Why? And he tries to find a limud zchus. Because Klal Yisrael mitivam nimshachem al HaKedusha. By definition, we are always trying to go higher and higher. This idea is a marasha that we have from Avoseinu HaKedoshim to go higher and higher. And there are many rayas that one could bring to this. For example, in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, we find actually machlokes in Chazal regarding this matter. On the one hand, the Torah tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem reveals himself to Moshe at the snare. Vayafter Moshe panav ki yarei me'avit elo Elokim. The Gemara has two opinions. The Gemara has two days in the Sugi and Brachos whether Moshe Rabbeinu acted correctly when he was Masti Panav, when he hid his face from Hashem as well. According to one opinion, he acted correctly and even received a schar for this. The Gemara said that the schar, Hayasta Moshe Panav, because he hid his face, Zochel the cluster Panav. The Pasuk says, Kikaran Ar Panav. His face was glistening. The Gemara said, Bischar Ki Yore, because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, Vayiru Mikesh Eseimov. Bischar mehabit, he was zocher to tmunas Hashem yabit. However, the other opinion, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu did not act correctly. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished when later on the Etzakodesh Baruch Hu in Pasuk Kisisa, Harini nas tvodecha, Hashem said to him, Lo tuchal liros espanoi. Why? She rotzisi, when I wanted, lo rotzisa, you didn't want. Achshav she'ata rotze, en yirotze. Now that you want, Hashem said, I don't want. So what is the issue? What's the machlokes? In general, Rav Detla, in Mitzvah Melio, always takes the position, when it comes to the Inyanim of Agoda, there's no machlokes. because both of them are correct. In other words, essentially what you have here is two different perspectives, which are reflected in the language of the Rambam in Yesod HaTorah, namely, on the one hand, Yira, on the one hand, Ava. Both of these are mitzvahs min HaTorah, an obligation to be a Yirei Shamayim, an obligation to be an Oiv Hashem, but there's a constant tension between these two. And this is the tension that we see here throughout the Corona situation. On the one hand, there's obviously a fair amount of Yira. On the other hand, we have this urge, almost primal urge, I would describe it as, to run back to shul, to go back to our sharashim. So on the one hand, we have the element of Yira. On the other hand, we have the element of Ava. Both these elements are in play. And the question is how to go about and interact between the two. And both are needed for Avodas Hashem. So now I want to go back to the psukim that I began with here in Bamidbar, at the end of Bamidbar. The Torah says, Al tachrisu eshevim mishpachos hakosi. Yes, there's no question. You have a great desire, a great urge for Kedusha, a great urge lehiskare v'aron HaKodesh, and thereby come close to Hashem Yisbarach. But chas v'shalom, don't do so without carrying out all the necessary directives that will prevent you, chas v'shalom, from, God forbid, being hurt, being injured, dying, God forbid. Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachos hakosi b'toch ha'rabiyim. B'zos asu lehem, here's what you should do. B'choyim ulo yamusu, b'gishtam ha'kodesh ha'kadoshim, al levon av yavo. Each person will be told, we have to undergo quarantine. Ish ish, al avodoso v'yal maso. We have to undergo other types of things that normally we would not be doing, whether it's wearing masks, wearing gloves, social distancing. The Torah is alluding to this idea right here in Pasuk Bamidbar. And if chas v'shalom we violate them, v'lo liros kevalas hakodesh rachmanu litzlan lo meitzel. Of course, this is drush, but I think it's correct. I think it's 1,000% correct. And last night, I was zecher tehagoyin Avashe Weiss Shlita, who spoke about Misrad HaBriyut, that they have their particular concerns and interests, but our sole interest is v'chayba and lo shiyom esponet. Our sole interest is to maintain the integrity of every single Jew in Klal Yisrael, and not chas v'shalom to do anything that would interfere, or God forbid, create a scenario where people might be hurt, might be injured, might become sick, might become infected, or we would infect others. That's what the Torah is instructing us to be here at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. Despite the Mashiach of the Kedusha, one has to be cognizant of the directives that are built in and we should build in for ourselves, and thereby one should act accordingly. I want to continue in this vein. You're quite aware of the fact that Sefer Bamidbar is called by Chazal Chemesh HaPekudim. It's the book of the counting, or the book of the census. It opens with the census of Klal Yisrael carried out, as the Torah says in the first pasuk, by Yidaber Hashem Moshe Bamidbar Sinai, B'yol Moi B'yachad HaChodesh HaSheni B'Shon HaShenis. Let's say some Eretz Yisrael Lemor.
Just a quick question. Yeah. Based upon what the Rav is saying, when Ava and Yira comes into conflict, it seems that we have to be worried about the Yira. How does this stem with the Ramban of Asei Do Chalos Asei, which seems to say that when they come into conflict, Ahava reigns supreme?
There's no question, and the Ramban writes in Yisrael, that's what you're referring to. Ramban of Yisrael notes that the reason why Asei Do Chalos Asei is primarily founded upon the fact that Mitzvah Asei are founded on the din of Ava, and Chalos Asei is founded on the din of Yira. And Ava is certainly stronger. Ava certainly is such a potent force that it's much stronger than the force of Yira. However, I don't think that this is a stira to what I said. Both of these elements are required by Avodas HaAdam. One cannot possibly just rely upon one of them or to opt for one over the other. There's a constant tension. This is what Chazal say regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, what I mentioned, as far as the snare is concerned, that there's no question Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest in Yerush Shamayim, the Gemara Brachas. The Gemara says, Ze'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem HaOkech HaShel Me'imach, and the Gemara says, is Yerush Shamayim Milsa Zutasihi? And the Gemara answers, In. Gavi Meshe Milsa Zutasihi. And Yerush Shamayim, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu, was something of a miniature nature. Moshe certainly had this midah of Moshcheni Achavecha, which is Yira Lageshe Dala Kodesh. But Mitzad Narutza, there is a constant ongoing tension between the two. So that, what I spoke about was this tension between Av and Yira. As I said, both of them are required for Avodas Hashem, and one has to try to find the balance between the two. But in the Din of Etzei Degel, also I'd say, ultimately, there's no question that Mayim Rabim Bayichlu L'chabas Es Ava, U'Naharif Yishtefua. Ava is a surge. Ava is something which is so overpowering, it's overwhelming. It's Deche, the Aseh is Deche the Losa Aseh, because at the ultimate level that a person should try to read in Avodas Hashem is not Yira. There are two levels of Yira, Kayadua, Mishel is speaking about. Number one, Yira Sa'inesh, which is a lower level. And then there's a second level, which is called Yira Sa'revimus. That's a second Madrega. But finally, the ultimate Madrega is that the Rambam describes in Perek Yud Hilchos Teshuva. He talks about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu came to the highest level of Avodas Hashem when he was ready to offer up Yitzchak Agav Yav Nizbeach, and this constant tug of war, it seems to me, between Ava and Yira is one essentially that each one of us has in our own lives. And we say in the, we know that one ideally should try to reach the level of Ava, but it's a very, very high Madrega. And we don't know anyone really who realized that Madrega. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says that Kol Yomav Hayimistar Al Pasuk Zeh, name of the Pasuk of Yahapas Hashem Elokecha, the Chalavavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Miyodecha, Fil Notelos Nishmoscha, Chazal say, and he said, Matzah Yavu Yadiv Akaymenu, the Gemara in the last track of Brachas. The Akshav Shibav Yadiv Lo Akaymenu. So a person obviously should not necessarily be Shoef Lamoves, although the Mishnah Berurah writes that when one says the Kriya Shema, one should have in mind this idea that one is ready to be Mesias Nafsho La'amoves HaKidosh Hashem. So undoubtedly, one should not necessarily be showing, God forbid, to die. One should be showing to live Mitoch Simcha. But together with that, one has to also know, have I come to this level of Shleimus that I'm ready to be Mesias Nafsho HaKidosh Hashem the Simcha? Rabbi Kiva came to that Madrega. He came to that Madrega of the Atlas Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Modcha, B'chol Modecha rather, B'chol Mamoncha, etc. But again, I think there's no contradiction because Etzid Nechal Osasei just tells us that the highest level that a person can achieve is Avas Hashem. No question about it. That's the highest level that one should strive for. But on an ongoing daily kind of basis, there's a constant tug of war, as there should be, between these two elements. Sometimes Ava should be the element that prevails, and sometimes Yira should be the element that prevails. And therefore, I think that it's possible to live with both, as most of us do, as all of us do, with the exception of Yechidei Sgula, who has zochet to come to that level of Avas Hashem, but Rabbi Akiva only came to it literally in Sof Yomav. So coming back to the Chomesh HaPkudim that I began with, so we have here a number of different counts. We have the very initial count that the Torah describes in the first few psukim of Bamidbar, and then later on we have actually a census that takes place in Parshas Pinchas, when Klal Yisrael are the Arvus Moab in the 40th year before they enter Eretz Yisrael. And that's found in Perek Chavav, over here in Bamidbar. But in our Parsha, we have Number one, the very beginning, the Torah describes here, ascension of the Shvatim that's found in Perek Aleph. And then we have, in Perek Beis, a Nifkad, a census of the Degolim. And that involves essentially the Levium accounted as well from the age of Ben Chodesh Ramallah. And then we have also the Bechorim of Klal Yisrael accounted here. It's Perek Gimel. And finally, in Perek Dalet, the census of the Levium between the ages of 30 and 50. So there are many, many questions that Rishonim ask on these different Nifkadim. And one of the major questions is, you'll take a look at the numbers of Shevet Levi from when they were counted as a month old, Ben Chodesh, to the time they were counted as Ben Shloshim, they were decimated. It's almost one third of the original number. You'll take a look at the Pesukim, you'll see there's quite a gap, quite a discrepancy between Ben Chodesh, I believe it was 7,500, and Ben Shloshim was 2,600. What happened? All the Rishonim asked this Kasha, the Ramban, the Chaim HaKadosh, Ibn Ezra. So the Medrash asked the question as well, and the Medrash has two comments I want to share with you. One comment the Medrash says is, those who carried the Aron were diminished in number. The Tush of the Aron was so great, so those that were involved, that would not treat the Aron with the proper Kobed Rosh, with the proper Kedusha, they were punished. And B'nai Kahas, they were the ones, of course, they carried the Aron. They felt the achrayus of carrying the Aron, and they ran away from the Aron. And the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kohas Aleihem. Also, the Medrash says, Hashem got angry at them, and because of that, they were punished. And they were in an impossible situation, because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that, on the one hand, those who carry the Aron and don't do so with the proper caution, Yismatu, they're going to be, Rahman al-Islam, impacted. On the other hand, they don't carry it, and he calls out ahead. I mean, he gets very angry at them. They were in an impossible situation. So what's the takana? That's what the Pasuk says at the end of Bamidbar. Zos asu lahem b'chayu v'lo yamusu, b'gishtar b'kodesh ha-kodoshim, Aaron u'bam of Yavo. Each one will be given a specific object to carry. His particular function will be demarcated, delineated very carefully, and that somehow will be the takana. In other words, of course one should strive for Kedusha, but again, one has to do so under very careful circumstances, delineated, demarcated, circumscribed by the Torah. That's one opinion in the Medrash. The second opinion in the Medrash tells us something even perhaps more relevant to our own life situation. Lo yu b'nei kahos manichim ha'aron. They didn't leave the Aron, but rather, what did they do? Everyone wanted the Aron. No one wanted to carry the Shulchan. No one wanted to carry the menorah. Everyone wanted Shishi. Everyone wanted Shlishi. Everyone wanted Maftir. Everyone wanted Maftir Yoda on Yom Kippur. So the Medrash says, as a result, they came to major machlokes. This one wanted to take the Aron, that one wanted to take the Aron, and of course, the resulting consequence was Kalus Rosh. V'hoysa Shechina pogas b'hem. The Medrash says that the Shechina, as a result of this frivolous behavior, lightheadedness, the Shechina came after them. And here again, the takana was v'choyu v'lo yamusa v'gishna v'skedesh ha-kadoshim. So essentially, what I'm really describing to you, both of the very initial presentation to the discussion of Av Avira, to the discussion of the 2 days in Medrash, it's really all founded upon the same doctrine, which to me is Kedesh Kadoshim, and that's the doctrine of Mishkal HaChassidus, which is to me maybe the most important parak of Maseilas Yesharim, that a person has to learn how to find balance in one's life. And it is so difficult and so challenging and so problematic. In the Parakhov of Maseilas Yesharim, so Ramchal points out that that's when a person constantly has to evaluate, constantly has to overview his behavior, and has to examine whatever he does from every single possible tzad. You have to look at all the tzadim, all the different sides of what I'm doing, how I'm behaving, to make sure that you have a Kaddish Shem Shemayim and not Mechal Shem Shemayim, God forbid. And the example that I gave you now is probably an excellent example, but there are many other examples that are given in Chazal. The Mishnah writes in Yuma, a very famous Mishnah, Barishona, Chalarotze Litra Mutam Ezbeach Torein. There was no Pallas, there was no Goral for Tumas HaBeshen. So whoever wanted to become involved in this Avoda, Shoyim Ruben, there were many people, Rotzim Goyim Bakevesh, the Chalakhenim is Chavir Abadal Ram Zocha. Whoever came first, Chalakhenim Zocha. Vim Shovim, if they came at the same time, Matzbiyin. They would have to sort of, a kind of Goral of sorts. Maisa Shoyim Rotzim Bakevesh, Vidochav Echad is Chavir Abadal Ram Zbeach. Once they were essentially involved in each one trying to get there, and they ran up to Kevesh, and one of them unfortunately fell and broke his leg. So Chazal at that point decided we have to do it through a lottery. And again, one could argue, but it was Hashem Shamayim. So the fact that they may have jostled each other, pushed each other, Azma, it's all the Shem Shamayim. There's even a Tosefta, a Rebbe of mine used to call it Tosefta. We don't pass the halacha like this Tosefta. That Gezel is Mutter, the Shem Shamayim. You can steal as long as the Shem Shamayim. No one does anything that's not the Shem Shamayim. All of us, whatever we do, we find a lumbus, a Shifl Teira, to justify what we do. It's all the Shem Shamayim. Or the other example that is given by Ramchal himself, the Siyas Shishorim, is the Mishnah in Brachas, the famous Mishnah with Beshama Besilel, how to read Kriya Shema at nighttime. Beshama Yom Kolach Echad Yatav Yikra, and Besilel takes a living position, Kolach Kari Kedako. We pass to Halacha, like Besilel, our Tavin says that once he would decide to go, be Machmer, like Beshama, be Tesi, Kedim Beshama, be Sikanti, be Atzmi, be Nail Listed. He puts some in the matter of Sakona, but it was all the Shem Shamayim. Because he wanted to be Machmir. So the Mishnah tells us the response to Abtadu was, Kedaya Isa Lochu Ba'atmecha, Shavar Tadim Vesilo. And he did something that was absolutely incorrect, inappropriate. And Lechara, this Mishnah is a pellet. Okay, we pass like Vesilo. But he wants to be Machmir. We know many people call yourself want to be Machmir. And want to be Yotzi in the position of a Shammai. Want to be Yotzi, Chaladeus. I want to fulfill all the positions. And he thought that maybe Basil is a big mako, but why should I not be able to the Dimir Vishamai? So the Messiah Sishorim, Rabbi Shechaim Lutzato, is Mazbir that the machlokas between Mesham and Basil is not just over here. The machlokas we know in Yavamis and elsewhere in Shas is Nogia to come in Ikri Adas, Yichus of Kal Yisrael, and other areas. And Chas V'Sholom, we have to be Machriya. If it wouldn't be Machriya, it could come out, God forbid, a major fissure, a major conflagration, a major division in Klal Yisrael. There'd be two Torahs, one the Torah Beis Shammai and one the Torah Beis Hillel. And so Chazal decided, Halach, he's never Beis Hillel. And they did so because they felt there's a need for Achra, and we know that the Totsos of Machlokas could be Rahman Litzlan, catastrophic. So here again, coming back to the topic of Mishkal HaChassidus, which to me is the most important quality that a person has to nurture, cultivate, and develop in his life. To try to find a balance between different positions that a person takes or does, and try to do everything. And basically, this is the Rambam Shita, the Rambam, the famous Rambam, the Shvil Azov, the golden mean, but there are exceptions to the rule when it comes to Gaiva, the Od Meod Hevi Shvar Ruach, and when it comes to other such matters. And the Bali Musa claimed that the individual who really introduced this into the world at large was Avisal Salam Zechatai Zebracha. That when he was Mechanech, Klal Yisrael for Musa, loved his Chiddush was Mishkal HaChassidus. Anyone who knows the biography or the life story of Avisal Salanta knows that he introduced this Mishkan HaChassidus, especially, not just in the area of Adam Namokom, but primarily V'ram b'chaveram, which is much more chomer in many, many respects than v'ram b'makom. The Gemara says in Seita that, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch La'alacha, that once you try to wash one's hands with as much water as possible, the shefa mayim. The Gemara says it's a big maila, and it's quoted La'alacha. But let's say the water has to be drawn by someone, but as a result of your using enormous amounts of water, they're going to have to do a lot more work. So of course, when you are a tzaddik on someone else's cheshbon, the expression that's used in the parlance is a tzaddik mitpeltz. You're a tzaddik, but essentially who else is suffering because of your tzidkus? Somebody else. That is something which is completely and totally inappropriate. I was at a chasana, and it was only 11:30 at night in the heart of Yerushalayim, and the music was blaring, and Baruch Hashem, it was unbelievable simcha, tremendous chasana. And at one point, the mechutanim went over to the bachrim who were dancing and asked them if they could, at this point, at 11 o'clock, they actually were in a very residential neighborhood. People are living there and are sleeping, of course, at that hour of the night. And they said to the mechutanim, what are you talking about? There's a great simcha going on here. We're mechuyah to be mesameach. The chasam v'kala, that's the Gemara. Do you not know the Gemara? You don't know the mitzvah of being mesameach chasam v'kala? And the mechutanim tried to explain to them that they're not allowed after 11 o'clock to play music. And the noise they were making was mind-boggling. Of course, it was all the shem shamayim. So here again, this is where Yisrael Salant really had what to say. Some very significant, some very important matters. I want to comment on something that I've actually noticed now during the corona season. And I think that this also can be related to the topic that I'm talking about in this year. At the end of Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv, we say the following tefillah. Hashkiveinu Hashem Elokeinu l'shalom, v'amideinu malkeinu l'chayim. And we ask Hashem to give us an Eitz HaTovah and save us and defend us and protect us. Here we address, as we do a number of times in davening, the Dever, this plague, whether it's Corona, Chas V'Shalom, or some other plague, Chas V'Shalom, we ask Hashem to remove it. And then we say, V'Haser Satan Milfaneinu Me'achareinu. The Chabad Chaim wrote, he comments on this lashon, but I thought that is exactly what is being discussed. The Satan tells me, listen, you've been home long enough, you got to get to shul now, and once you come to shul, everything's behind us, the curve has been flattened, here and there may be episodes, incidents of this one getting corona still, and this one being put into bidud. But essentially, it's over. Go at it. You haven't had it for 2 months. Now you can go at it with a vengeance. Mashkeni acharech ha-merutza. So the tefillah tells us, v'haseh satan milfaneinu acharenu. Sometimes the satan will try his best to get us. Well, he does it by going to shul and not following the directives, not wearing a mask, not social distancing in a proper kind of way, but we're going to shul. So that's overriding factor. No. V'haseh satan milfaneinu acharenu, and this is mentioned in the context of the dever, of the corona, uvtzel kevamechat hasterenu, ki kel shoveinu Hashem should guard us, but really he should give us eitzah tova milfanecha. We should know how to find the balance in our lives. We should be able to, yes, be nimshach l'kdusha, undoubtedly, but at the same time do so, the mission as the heroes, with all the possible care and caution that one can bring to the fore. I want to mention by way of Siyum, the din of Shmiras HaMikdash, that the Rambam quotes in Beis HaFkira, it's also mentioned here by the Ramban, in his Perish Al HaTorah, the very beginning of Bamidbar, Rambam tells us that Shmiras HaMikdash is a mitzvah say, and even though there's no fear of enemies, but the Shmir is the covered to the Beis HaMikdash. In the Dome, the Palpurim Shesh Olav Shomrim, the Palpurim Shesh Olav Shomrim, and the Rambam says this Shmirah is relevant Kol HaLaila, who are the Shomrim, the Kohanim, and the Leviim, and the Rambam quotes Pesukim in this week's Pasha. The Torah tells us, V'yato v'necha itcha v'fe'er al-oidus, atem tiyu Shomrim lo, V'shomus l'shmeres o'loi. V'achonim kegel v'olei v'zvachem Moshe Aaron avonav. Shomeim l'shmeres ha'kodesh. So this is the mitzvah saying to God, the Beis HaMikdash, God it from Tumah, God it from Zorim, people who are non-Kohanim, should not enter the areas they're not allowed to enter. And the Chinuch quotes this mitzvah as well. And the Ramban in Adoma to Bamidbar, right here, the Ramban writes, he first compares the Mishkan to Har Sinai, well-known Ramban, who shows us many terminological connections, many conceptual connections. Both of them have Kedushas Mechitzis, both Har Sinai and the Mishkan. And then he tells us in the middle, V'tziva u'shmata mishmeres ha'kodesh v'yesh mishmeres ha'mishkan. And he quotes the Pesukim with Har Sinai, and he compares the Pesukim over here to the Mishkan, V'akol ma'lo l'migdosh l'kavo, k'mo she'amru, en adome paltum in shel melech she'esh t'olav shomrim, l'paltum she'en olav shomrim. The Mishkan is paltum in shel melech, the palace of the king. Har Sinai was the palace of the king. So there's a din of Mora Migdosh. Now one can ask a very simple question, which always troubled me. This halacha of Mora Migdosh is found actually in two separate Masechtas. It's found in Masechtas Midos and Masechtas Tomei. I always wondered why the duplication. There are a lot of duplication in both of these Mishnayos. And I always thought that there's no duplication because there are two aspects to this mitzvah. One is the mitzvah, the chetz of the Beis HaMikdash, and one is mitzvah, the gabra. There's a din that the chetz of the Beis HaMikdash has to be shamur, has to be guarded, guarded from tumah, guarded from people who don't belong there. On the other hand, there's also a chevas gabra, Kohanim and Levim have to guard the Beis HaMikdash. If you look at Mishnayos and Tamid, you get the sense that it's the chevas gabra that's being stressed. If you look at Mishnayos and Midos, there the focus is more on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Beis HaMikdash itself. So being that tonight is Yom Yerushalayim, the Rambam Shita is Yadua. The Rambam holds in many places, he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that the city of Yerushalayim is an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim emanates from the presence of the Shekhinah, as the Mishnah writes in the Gilam, Vashimosi is Nigdishechem, Abdi Sheshemne, Bidishotin and Erdin. That Kedusha remains forever, it's never batel. Unlike the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, where the Gemara has Machlokes, we got his Kedusha Rishonah, Kedusha Shnia, or the Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Asadabo. We pass the low Kitchel Asadabo. However, regarding the Kedusha of the Mikdash of Yerushalayim, that Kedusha remains. Shechina and the Betema. Vashivosi is Migdashecha. Essentially, Yerushalayim is an extension of the Makkah of Migdash. So here, on Yom Yerushalayim, which is a very beautiful and critical day for us, Chazal speak a lot about Yerushalayim as being a Makkah that created Achdus for Klal Yisrael. All Klal Yisrael became Chaverim of Yerushalayim. I saw in the Sefer Moadei Araya by Moshe Tzineria Zatzal, he quotes the historical vignette. In the Mechemet HaShechur in Tavshin Chet, in the War of Independence, when the State of Israel was founded, HaKadosh Baruch at that point in time, we would not dare Zochet to Yerushalayim. While in the Mechemet Sheshet HaYamin in Tavshin Chav Zayin, there HaKadosh Baruch gave us Yerushalayim. In Tavshin Chet, when the Palmach, the soldiers, when they broke through Shar Tzion and they were about to break through Shar Shechem, but we were, unfortunately, at that time, weren't so united. There were many, many schisms in Klal Yisrael. Had we been Matzliach, we could have captured Yerushalayim at that point in time, and probably each one would have said, Kula Shali, like the Rishon Lezion, Kula Shali, it's all mine. And Yerushalayim would become, Rachman Litzlan, a Makkah or a Pirud. We know the Gemara said, Yerushalayim and Yitzchak and the Shvatim. Even the Eretz Yisrael was Mechul and the Shvatim, not the city of Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Yuma. Yerushalayim was given to Klal Yisrael in Toto. And there's the Pasuk, Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim comes to be Marve Shalom Ba'ilam. Yerushalayim comes to underscore and accentuate this Nekud of Achdus between us. And that's why when all of them enter Derech Shar Echa and Shar Arayos, all our Milchadim were all united. And when that happens, of course, will be zochet to hamatzus shchinasu l'tzion. So in Yom Yerushalayim, and we're in the shadow now of Kabbalah Satera, this coming week in Yisrael Hashem, will be zochet to mekabel v'tera. We should try to absorb the lessons of Maimon HaSinai, of Yerushalayim HaKodesh, but those lessons are really founded upon this achdus of Kol Yisrael B'nei Derecha Ki'ish Echad, Ish Shechuba Lo Yachdav, Yerushalayim, the city that unites us, Shekol Yisrael Nasim B'chaverim, and Yomar Chagiga, and then we'll be zoche to the guarding of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Shmiras HaMikdash, Shmiras Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and we'll be zoche to the Chazon of the Navi Zechariah, V'ani Eyal Adum Hashem, Chomas Eish Sodiv, and then hopefully the Rebbe Shalom himself will be shomer on Migdash Melech Ir Malucha. Yerushalayim Al Pidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Migdash Melech Ir Malucha. And we ask, of course, as we do on El Shabbos, Kum Mitzi Mitoch HaAfecha, Rabbach Shevetz Be'emek HaBacha, Hu Yachem Ol Ola Yechem Lo. But that would be Mekuyam even more efficaciously if we're able to achieve that balance that I spoke about earlier, the Mishkal HaChasidus, Hoser Soto Mifaneinu Mechareinu, to be able to somehow navigate the ongoing tensile balance between Ava and Yira, and somehow try to find the proper formula, where on the one hand, Mashreini Acharecha, Narutza, Nagila V'Nisvechavach, on the other hand, when there's a need to withdraw, when there's a need to have recoil, Ava V'Yira, we'll be able to do so. And if we approach Hashem Yisbarach and Klal Yisrael, the entire world, in such a fashion, there's no question that Ribono Shel the Ezer Hashem, that's his midah, Mahu Kacha, Af Ata Kacha, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates the world with a balance. He's able to make Shalom between Eish and Mayim. He finds a pshara, a compromise. Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, we'll also be able to find this compromise of the Hoseh Sotan, the Faneinu Mechareinu, and the Yuvel Shom She'er Rachmanis, not just on the city of Yerushalayim, but on Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Amen. Ken Yeh Ratzon.
Yeshu Koyach.
If it's an extremely that the day that the Kohen Gadol was allowed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was Yom Kippur, the day that was stripped in Yira.
Very good.
Based upon the Rav's story.
I'm sorry? I think it's a tremendous lesson, this Yisod, even though it was homiletically grounded at the book of the end of the Pastor Benidbar, but I happen to like it a lot. And it's not an easy, we don't have easy choices to make, but I see that even with the opening of shuls, we have to be extremely careful. It's obviously a positive thing, but as Hagoyin Rav Asher Weiss Shlita said, we have to be very careful in the first. I don't know if you saw back to Feiner Shlita, if you saw the piece by Rav Meir Tversky Shlita. Did you have a chance to see it?
I saw one. He wrote two pieces. I saw one of them. I'm not sure which piece.
It's a classic Brisker piece. Classic. Rambam actually in the Hilchos Shabbos, and then he has several mishpachim, several. I think it's a very nice shikul terah, but it's more than shikul terah. It's a lesson in terms of the zehirus. Points out there have many unfortunately even from people not listen to doctors. They have to do that which they have to do in terms of running to kedusha, and I call them. I call this a lot of frumah cheshbonis. A lot of falsha frumkeit that's not in place. Frumkeit has to be founded upon a commitment to halacha, to both yira and ava, and we have to find the proper balance between these two forces. Okay. Shekach, thank you very much.
So this year, the Kutz Haaretz is going to fall behind a parsha on the second day of Shavuos, the Shabbos. So if the Shabbos after Shavuos, they're allowed to go to shul, would they just start where we are?
This is an issue that the contemporary Pesukim have dealt with. There are those now who are talking about being mashlim all the parshas that I missed, and there are a number of different, very innovative suggestions made by
Rav Shechter. Not even to mashlim, but if they were going to mashlim, why start a parsha behind us? If you weren't been doing it until now, might as well start with the parsha that Eretz Yisrael's up to.
You and I have discussed this issue before. I like the question. I don't like the answers. The question is an excellent question. I mean, the question is right on the mark. And I'm not sure there's a good answer to this question. I'm being very honest with you. You and I spoke about this a number of months ago. Because I happen to be, I'm very into this being martial in business, because the briskers hold that Kriyas HaTera is a chaymas Yochid. It's against the Rishonim, it's against the Ramban, it's against the Mishnah Megillah. You need 10 people for Kriyas HaTera. The Ramban writes explicitly that it's a Chayvah Tzibur, not a Chayvah Yochid. That's all from Mashmal, so Taisis and Brachas and Taisis and Zayta. And the Shulah seems to indicate that as well. But somehow, people are talking to me a lot about being mashed in the Pashas that they missed. Many people, Davin B'Yechidus, even though here that's the son of Baruch Hashem, many people were able to find Minyanim. There was only actually one Pasha that I missed. I missed Vayakav Akudeh, because right after Purim, we closed the shul down. And even though people were still going to shul, I didn't go. And I was very, I was worried about the health issue. So there were Minyanim that Shabbos and Vayakav Akudeh, so I missed those two Pashas. So, a number of people also followed my position and also missed those two parshas. Since then, they've heard everything. And they asked me, when do I plan on being mashed by Yaakov HaKudeh? And I can't just be mashed by Yaakov HaKudeh. I have to be mashed by Yaakov HaKudeh and then read the whole Sefer Vayikra and continue on wherever we're going to be when we start up again. So I don't think that, I don't know too many people who would be willing to, shall we say, suffer through that. Unless we throw them a nice kiddush, which will, as far as I'm concerned, we have someone who can take care of this for me. I hope maybe we'll do that. I don't know. I don't know how many other people missed the kasha. But the question you're asking of Chaim is an excellent kasha. I don't see a good difference.
Again, they're not going to be mashlim. Assuming they're not mashlim, but if let's say they just start from...
Very well. Yeah. Right, it's not Hashama, correct.
It's just it's a funny question that there could be one time when they don't do...
Not a funny, it's a very telling and penetrating question.
And then also, what is the Rav's criteria for starting up then?
Starting again, the shul.
In other words, what level in the health department does the Rav need?
I need an infectious disease specialist to tell me that there's no issue. And the reason I decided to do as I did was because even though the other shuls in our neighborhood are starting up, not all of them, from what I understand. However, we are a small caravan, and I don't think the ventilation, this is what the infectious disease specialist told me, the ventilation is not good. It's a very closed, self-contained kind of area, and they told me it's not a healthy thing for people to be there for an extended period of time. I asked them what's called an extended period of time. They told me more than 15 minutes to a half hour. So I said people go to shops and go to malls. They're in a much larger kind of area. The ventilation is considerably better. Hopefully they're not in contact with people. Here, we'd have difficulty with the social distancing. If we have a nice crowd in the shul, Brova Maras Melach, I think we'll be hard-pressed to maintain that distancing. And even though I think we have people who are, Baruch Hashem, going to follow the health directives to the T, but I think all the other factors, and I discussed it with these infectious disease specialists, I actually discussed it with three of them. And I said, Achrei Rav Mahatos. All three were on the same page. So I mean, at what point come back, you're asking, I would like to hope and pray that after 2-3 weeks of seeing what's happening, we'll have a better idea of whether we're able to manage all this, given the fact that now we've more or less, to some extent, gone back to the norm.
Will the Rav be staying up all night, Shavuos night, without Shirim?
I wouldn't mind saying sure. I don't know if there are too many people interested in hearing what I have to say. But I already offered to people in the cul-de-sac to say a shir or two. And I'm really willing to not do it from the window in my attic where I'm basically operating from, but I'm willing to do it from downstairs. Downstairs means even I would go either within my gate or perhaps right outside my gate, as long as no one was within many amos of me. and I'll put there a sender, and I'll say a shear. But the weather, it has to cooperate with the heat wave that we had this past week. I don't think it would be ideal for anyone to have to be subjected to me, which means it's double Tzar Bal Chayim. First Tzar Bal Chayim from the person who's saying the shear, and then Tzar Bal Chayim from the weather. So they talk to the Grey Usa. I don't mind doing it. So if those who are within earshot are interested, you'll tell me, and I'll prepare something. I'll be glad to do so. It's mechayev me, as all these other shiurim are mechayev me, and I enjoy being challenged and being put into a situation where I'm compelled to learn.
Would the Rav say this year would be a year for someone to learn for till midnight, go to sleep, go to regular Zman, and then learn in the afternoon because of
In our cul-de-sac, we're trying to figure out, I'm in discussion with some of the people, whether we should have this, the early Shavuos thing, early in the morning at Nates, or we should do the regular, learn until 12, as you said, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then David at the normal time, at the regular time. There's a discussion. I am completely Meshuvah to the Tzibur, whatever they decide to do. They're Koveya, they're Machriya. I'm simply Eved to the Tzibur, and whatever they're Machriya, that's what I'm going to do.
If the Rav only missed Vayakub B'Kudu, does that mean every other part of the Rav sat by his door listening to a balcony minion?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
If the Rav only missed Vayakub B'Kudu, does that mean that all the other parshiyot the Rav listened from his balcony?
Yes, yes. I heard all the parshiyot from my balcony. And Baruch Hashem is a wonderful Bali Kriya. Initially, actually, I wasn't involved in the arrangement, but initially what happened was that they had individuals came and prepared that parsha. So they were given seven aliyahs. I personally am not so comfortable with the idea of people taking an aliyah from a distance. I actually said a shir to my yeshiva about this topic about 4 or 5 weeks ago. But there's a psak of Rav Shlomberg that permits it. And Rav Shlomberg feels there's a basis to do it, and he's an Adam Gadol, Echad Migdolei Ador, the Efshal Nesmoch Alav. That's what I told the Harav, the David Valensky, already. I spoke to him already 6-7 weeks ago about this topic. I myself said a shiur on the topic based on the Gemara Megillah and the last daf, based on the Din and Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, and based on Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik held that the Sichas HaSefer is Mechaber Kriyas HaTorah. You have to open up the Sefer. Whether you are Golel again after you, when you make the bracha, after the Gleila, before the Gleila, what exactly you do. But he felt that the Tzichas HaSefer is Mechayim Kriyas HaTorah, so you have to open up the Sefer in order to be Mechayim Kriyas HaTorah. Not everyone agrees with that, obviously. And Yeshami, this was, and many, many people actually, in many different places have done this. They have people who are taking aliyahs from a distance, what they call their Nipesit Aliyah, and many people are based on the Psak of Rav Shlomberg. But there are chiluk aderos regarding this thing of the matter. So as far as Vayakub B'Kudu, I can tell you that I was in Chutzaretz the last 15 years. This has happened to me 4 times at least. I was in Los Angeles, and I was in Muncie, and I was in Chicago, and I was also in Florida. And each time what I did was I wanted to be mashing the kriya that I missed. And so I essentially paid for a shal shudas. In one case, it was very expensive. Baruch Hashem. And that shows since people were willing to listen to me while they were eating herring and cakes and tuggles. And I made the take that I had 10 people listen to me and made the parsha that I missed. Okay, but you're right. Here it's not the issue in Chutzar, as you mentioned earlier, Vashlama. But in terms of Shavuos night, I think we have to see what the weather is like and what people are willing to, what they would like to see, those who are involved in these minyanim.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Shabbat to all of you. You should have a wonderful Shabbos. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zecher to Chag Sameach, a wonderful Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov should bring about all the refuels that are required, and we should only be zecher to the service, Tevis, Yeshua, and the Chavos, the Karov.
Amen.
Okay. Shikach to all of you.